Wow. Well, as Rowan said, my name is Christian. I have the privilege of serving this church as a pastor. And I would ask you to allow me to share a few things from the Bible. We're actually studying this book called Proverbs. It's a book in the Bible, and it's full of statements. They're there to provoke us to think. They're there to make us think through the realities in life, anything from work, and as you saw, as what it means to be a good neighbor, any relationships, family, and any other very practical side of life. And it's all with the intention that as you wrestle with these statements of wisdom, that they make us wise. And really what that means is that it gives us and makes us competent in all these areas in life, and to be competent in a way that God had intended. And I believe that this book is not only helpful, I even think it's incredibly necessary. I think we live in an age where I think we sometimes think we're wiser than we truly are. And I think it shows because, I mean, there's plenty of people out there looking for wisdom, looking to sort out maybe a mess that we're in, or trying to figure out how to work with difficult family members, complicated work environments, and whatever it might be. We need wisdom. Well, tonight's topic was to be all about the topic of friendship. But because of the baptism, I've wrestled with the idea of just leaving it to one side, until I actually realized how appropriate the whole idea of friendship is for a service where we're going to be baptizing three wonderful lives and hopefully more, as Rowan has sent out that invitation. I mean, a lot of you here are simply here because you are a friend. And this whole church thing, even baptism, might be a strange thing to you, but you wanted to support your friend. And we want to thank you for being here. It takes a bit of courage sometimes to come into a church if you're not used to it. But it means a lot to the person that you've come here for. But I think hopefully tonight we might be challenged as well to realize that your friendship doesn't just come up to this time, but actually it's even more important that your friendship lasts for the years and years ahead that hopefully God will give each one of us. I think the reality in life is that actually the idea of friendship is undervalued. I saw a headline just the other day that almost proudly about 2.5 million men in the UK, and maybe even just specifically England, claim to have no friends. Now, apparently men aren't very good at it. They're certainly worse than the women. On top of that, apparently married men are even worse than the general man. And worst of all are probably pastors. There's truth in that because pastors, people who work in churches, they're very busy with people, but often forget or neglect the idea of friendship. I certainly know that I would love, you know, to, well, it's more that feeling of I really should do more about maintaining friendships or building friendships or, you know, looking out for being a friend to other people. Here's a quote from the author of The Chronicles of Narnia, an Englishman called C.S. Lewis. He said, "Very few modern people think friendship a love of comparable value, or even a love at all. Yet our ancestors regarded friendship as something that raised us almost above humanity. It's the sort of love one can imagine between angels." Now, there's an interesting thought. Well, certainly I believe that our society, our world, is in desperate need of good and strong and healthy friendships. Loneliness is regarded to be one of the biggest problems, certainly in Western Europe. We're well off, but loneliness has thrived because of it. Well, this Bible, and Proverbs in particular, also, just like C.S. Lewis, has a very high view of friendship. We see, by looking at some of these verses in the book of Proverbs, that Proverbs teaches us the importance of friendship. And the importance, not only the importance that then flows into the nature of friendship. If we look, for example, again to verse 17 and 17, it said that a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. There they are. And in chapter 18, verse 24, we see that one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I think the beauty here is that actually the Bible doesn't put any blinkers on but knows the reality of life, that life is unpredictable. Think of work. How many these days still work in the same job for 40 years, maybe more or thereabouts? Or what about even family or health? None of us can say or with 100% certainty predict what next week or next year is going to be like. And the Bible realizes this, and through Proverbs, but also other parts in the book, tries to equip and help in any way possible to help us cope when there are adversities and maybe even times where it feels that life is almost ruined. And one of those things is simply friendship. We need friendship to help us through those times where we really struggle and where we're feeling down. A friend can't avoid or even solve the difficulties in life, but when it counts the most, they should be there to encourage us, to sit with us, to be a listening ear. Now again, I don't know about your life, but certainly in my own life, I've sometimes found that actually when there's the difficulties in life, that's when you start to realize who your true friends are. A lot of friends struggle if their friends are going through difficulties with health or work or whatever it might be. They don't always know what to ask or how often to ask or how to listen or how to help. So friendships kind of fade away. And yet the Bible teaches us when we need them the most, that is when the true friends ought to be there. And chapter 18 even reminds us that it doesn't matter how many friends we have, because many companions doesn't necessarily guarantee their support. There are friends and there are friends. And I guess it's a reminder that in an age of a Facebook society, this is an art to be relearned. That we are those friends that are there. Not fair weather friends, but whatever the weather is. And to stick as close to people as our family would, hopefully, as well. But there's more to it, because there's not just the importance of the need for our friendship, but in chapter 27, verse 9, it says something even more beautiful. It says, "Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Or as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." This sweetness, for example, literally actually refers to making the heart glad or to refresh the soul. And the sharpening of one another has everything to do with growing. Guess what friendships ought to be about? It's to refresh and encourage one another. And not just a pat on the back, but deep within when we need it the most. A phone call, a visit, a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, a bit of time to come alongside. And not just to refresh, but ultimately to see the other person grow. Friends, in that sense, says the Bible, aren't acquaintances. True friends help. They help us grow and to refresh us. So actually, this book in the Bible is actually reminding us that there's something beautifully unique in what friendship can give. And I think it's a great reminder that we all need this type of friendship, and we all need to be this type of friend. And certainly those who are going to be in that water later on, they sense your support now that you're here and you're making this time, but they still need your support in the weeks and months ahead, especially the friends who are part of this community here at church, to help them spiritually continue to walk with Jesus, to help them grow and to refresh their soul when they need it, because their life and their walk with Jesus is going to have its ups and downs. That's reality. So there is the importance of friendship, the necessity of it, but also the beauty of it. But what about the nature of friendship? How can we do this? What is then important about this true friendship? Well, if we go back to that chapter 18, verse 24, there's a word there that talks about faithfulness. Hopefully we have it on there again on the sheet screen. It says there in 18:24, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Friendship is all about stickability. I came across this wonderful newspaper article, actually a few years ago already, where these two ladies celebrated 90 years of friendship. And the question is it a UK record? It says here two women are celebrating remaining friends for 90 years. One is called Edith, one is called Una. They're both 95, and they believe they may have the longest friendship in Britain. Born just 2 days apart, they became friends at the age of five on their first day at school in 1917. Wonder how many of our friends were there in our primary school time. The women who have outlived their husbands remained firm friends throughout their lives. Mrs. Brooks said, "We clicked immediately. We were inseparable." Mrs. Kilner said, "I am lucky to have Edith. Most people our age are neglected and alone. Every girl knows that you can't be lonely with your best mate around. We meet every fortnight to catch up. We always phone each other, and we'll stick together through thick and thin." I find it amazing that this ends up in the newspaper. Of course, it's a long time. But I wonder if even a friendship that has lasted 40 years is already newsworthy these days. Stickability, I think, is rare. Ask any shop. Ask Sainsbury's. I mean, they need these loyalty cards to keep us loyal. Loyalty is not something that I think comes natural to us. Or any employer. An employer is not certain whether people are going to stay with them and serve them and work them. Or I remember playing that beautiful game of Risk. Have you ever played Risk? It's a pain because you make these alliances and then somebody just stabs you in the back. There is no reliability, no faithfulness anymore. But that is what true friendship is all about. Even in times when there's more giving than receiving. Even in times when it suits us, maybe not as much, or serves us as much as we need to serve the other. But lastly, this. It's not just the stickability, but it's also honesty. In chapter 27, verse 5 and 6, if you can find it. Thank you. It says there, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." A true friend doesn't just stick, he's not just faithful, but also loves honesty. Not self-serving flattery, but is truthful and kind, gives earnest counsel even if it causes wounds. A true friend means there's no room for shallowness. It's not a relationship where you try to avoid conflict, but because you have the very best in mind for the other one. You might even tell them the truth if it means hurting them. See, friendship is not just about confirmation of ourselves. I mean, that's what our world is all about. Confirmation of who we are. It's actually confirming who they are and who they can be. Now, of course, this isn't easy. Correction never is. But in the long run, a friend will desire what's best for the other, even if it's a difficult thing to do. Plus, if you are the friend being spoken to, and your friend is speaking to you earnestly and in love and challenges you, it's very wise to listen. To listen carefully, because he or she does it in love. And I wonder how often we do that. Because sometimes the things that a friend share can hit us straight into the heart. Sometimes if we don't have much to do with religion, and the other person is up here sharing their love for Jesus, a lot of us might close the door and say, "That's not for me." But stickability and honesty is the key to any deeper connection. It's the key to any authenticity as well as a community. So I guess if you're part of this church and you're here regularly, it's a challenge to all of us to be those friends, not just to the three who are being baptized tonight, but to one another. To be faithful and to keep building and working at this beautiful friendship that the Bible teaches us. It's to be highly valued and it's to be pursued. We must choose well and challenge ourselves to rethink our own understanding of friendship, says Proverbs. Now you wonder, what does all that have to do with baptism? Well, here's the important link with baptism. This book, Proverbs, and all that it says about friendship, and actually everything else, actually looks towards a particular person in the Bible. And this person in the Bible is the Lord Jesus. And this is what this Lord Jesus that we've just been singing about said himself in John chapter 15, verse 15. He says to any of us who will trust him and love him, he says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, and I have made known to you. Jesus calls us friends, and we are allowed to call Jesus friend. Now, can I be very honest with you? I have struggled with calling this Jesus, who, as far as I understand from the Bible, is the Son of God. And yet he allows me to call him friend. I struggle with it because this Jesus, I can't call him my buddy. He's Jesus. I can't call him my friend because he is the Son of God. It seems too low for me. Until I realized that actually what I've wrestled with is that I'm thinking of Jesus along the definition that I have just experienced in my life of a friend who, a friendship which isn't deep but shallow, is ever changing and that isn't necessarily faithful. But this Jesus is actually the perfect friend you could ever have. He fulfills everything that this book in Proverbs has been talking about. He is the most faithful of all people and beings you could ever think of. He does correct us in time because he loves us, but he does it because he cares. He longs to refresh us, deepen our soul. He longs to see us grow. He came, he said himself, to serve, not to be served. So this Jesus, the perfect friend, fulfilling the correct definition, the role model for all of us to emanate, he is faithfully committed to all of us. And I know that Claire and Campbell and Agnes are exactly because of that choosing to be baptized. You know this friendship with Jesus. You know that Jesus, through the forgiveness that he gave you for your sins and your wrongdoing, is now calling you friends. And it's maybe the most beautiful thing that we can share with all of you. And if you don't know this Jesus, then I would love you to consider this invitation of friendship with this Son of God, who is faithful and loving and caring, and would love to get rid of whatever is in between you and him, for you also to start this journey with the most beautiful friend who sticks closer than a brother, is more faithful than any family member. His love is for each one of us forever. Let me pray and then I'll hand over to Rowan. May I pray and speak to this God who became a human being through Jesus. And we thank you, dear God, for the Bible and that it speaks to us into our society that has undervalued friendship. But not just wants to show us the importance of human friendship, but points us to the friendship that you have to offer with yourself through Jesus. Thank you for this perfect friend, for the perfect love that he has for each one of us, and that you and this friendship is offered to anyone who's here tonight. Lord, may we go away from here later on tonight, Lord, not forgetting this great offer, but even seeing how Agnes and Campbell and Claire have already accepted this friendship and are enjoying it and testify of that great love that you've given them. Lord, thank you for such a love, and we pray your blessing on the rest of our evening together. In Jesus' name, amen.